Hello and welcome to the Pugsley Crew Reviews podcast, where we talk about all manner of films, whether they're good, bad, or anything in between. We will talk about them and then give you our honest opinion. Today we have joining us, as usual, Kerr9000.
Yeah.
How are you doing, dude?
I'm not doing bad. How are you doing? You're in festive mood?
I don't know. Since I've got older, I've not really been that bothered by Christmas, if that makes sense. It's like when I was a child, it was a lot different to when you're older, and I'm assuming that's the same for everyone. It's like, it's nice to see the kids open their presents, but like all the run up to Christmas is so stressful. By the time you get to like Christmas Day, you're knackered, the presents are done, and then it's just like eat food, chill out, and want to sleep. What about yourself? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, about the same. I mean, it's overextended, isn't it? I work in retail, so Christmas starts at the start of November, you know, and you're kind of forced to hear the music. And
yeah, from about July now. I may be exaggerating a touch there, but they do start stock stuff really early for Christmas nowadays compared to what they used to. It's like, now Halloween or Bonfire Night hasn't happened, and there's already Christmas stuff in the shops, and it's like, why?
I'm not for that. I like get everything out of the way one at a time. You shouldn't have anything Christmas out till your Halloween and bonfire stuff's gone away.
Just around too much, if you ask me. Christmas should be like, I've seen people like putting trimmings up in November and stuff, like early November. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not like the person who's like, ah, fuck Christmas, but I'm like, you know, maybe tone it down a bit until a bit later than it currently is, because it seems to be a bit too much. Then again, we've done more podcasts this month specifically. We were going to do 4 podcasts, one each week for Christmas, a Christmas film each week, but I end up not getting it sorted for the first week, so we've ended up doing 3 weeks of Christmas films.
Okay.
Instead of 4. And maybe for Halloween next year as well, for October next year, for the Halloween month, we'll do 4 Christmas horror films, and then 4 Christmas films again next year. We'll see. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, we'll see. Sounds great, though.
Does. But speaking of Christmas films, this one is a little different to the last two. The last two were kind of like, the last one was a horror film. The one before was also a horror film, I think.
Yeah.
So this time we went for something a little bit more child and family friendly with Home Alone.
Yeah, you gotta love Home Alone.
Yeah, if you don't like Home Alone, then you clearly have no soul. I might be being a little bit mean there, but it's a fun film. When did you first see Home Alone?
I know I saw the second one in cinema.
I remember seeing the second one in cinema.
I'm not sure where the first one, if I'd have gone to cinema or had it been on video or 1990, so I was born in 81, so it's possible I went. I was 9, it was a PG.
Yeah, I don't remember when I first saw this. It must have been before the second one, because I remember seeing that in the cinema. And that came out like 2 years later, was it?
Yeah, that sounds about right time span.
I remember when I saw Home Alone. Back then, it would have been about a year after the film came out in cinema, because things were a lot slower at getting released back then. It'd be like to watch it on terrestrial TV, it'd be like 3 years later or something. Maybe exaggerating a little, but it was something stupid like 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, it was about 6 months minimum after cinema for it to come to your rental store.
Yeah.
And 2 years to come on telly.
And then it'd be ads unless it was on BBC.
Well, yeah. And it's just such a fast process now. It's in the cinema, then it's home streaming, then it's home buying.
Yeah.
It's quicker to have the whole thing end up on TV now than it used to be for some films just to end up rentable.
Yep. Yep. I completely agree. So we'll talk about the film a bit. And the very first thing that we thought of, me and the missus when we were watching it, like, obviously, the film starts with, like, the house is completely hectic. And I'm guessing that's kind of trying to show, like, oh, it's so busy, it's so hectic. This is why they forget Kevin when they piss off to France. So maybe that's what it is, I'm assuming. But it also sets up, like, the policeman being there, which turns out to be Harry, who's a dodgy thief who wants to steal their shit. Figuratively, not literally. That would be weird. But my missus turned to me when we were sitting there and they were on the scene running to the airport. And she said, you think with Kevin being such a nuisance, they would have noticed he's not there earlier?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's fair, actually. But, yeah, it's just funny, a funny film. But, so, yeah, it starts off with the family having all this hectic thing. They're all having pizza, and this is where it all starts, the ball rolling for Kevin to be forgotten. He ends up getting put in the attic instead of wherever he's meant to sleep, because he pushes his older brother, who hits a drink over, then loads of other drinks get spilt over everyone's pizza, because his older brother Buzz ate all the cheese pizza, knowing Kevin doesn't like any other pizza, and he probably did do it on purpose because he's a dick. to his younger brother.
Fair call.
Yeah. But I was like, yeah, you know, I think it's in the second film where Frank, the uncle, like, says something to Kevin, and Kevin said, oh, I'm so sorry, cheapskate. And then you notice in this film just how cheap he is. He's like, he's not paying for the stuff. Oh, he's not paying for the pizza. When that turns up, oh, it's my brother's house or brother-in-law's house, he'll pay for it. That kind of thing. And then when they're on the plane, he's like, fill it up to the glass, like, of champagne, because he's so cheap. He's like, he wants the most money out of it. It's like when they, like, oh, do you want some champagne? He's like, it is free, isn't it? And they're like, yeah. He's like, yeah, go on, man. And it's like, wow, really, dude?
No, he is definitely portrayed as the biggest cheapskate at. I think they do a good job of making different family members, you know, Buzz the bully kid. Then you've got the geeky, like, big glass of kid that they say he'll pee himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do sort of run the gauntlet so that there's probably somebody in everyone's family that's a little bit like a couple of the characters here. So it's quite relatable.
Yeah. Makes sense. But for the first bit of the film, I didn't take many notes because I was just watching the film, and, like, I just didn't see the need to take many notes earlier on in the film. I think the two notes I took is the when they're on the plane, and then I started taking notes more when Angel with Filthy Souls came on, which is the name of the film when he's like. After they all piss off to France, it's Christmas, near Christmas or ever. Not actually Christmas Day. Christmas Day is 2 days later, I believe, when it all ends. And so they've left Kevin behind. They don't realise till they're on the plane to France. And Kevin wakes up in the morning going, oh, where are they all? Looks around the house, doesn't find anyone there. Runs out to check the garage. The cars are still there. So he's like, well, they couldn't have gone to the airport. I must have made them disappear, because he said he didn't want to see his parents or his family anymore. And so to him, he's basically believing that he's wished his family away.
Which, you know, I do like that, because it makes a big message in the film in the end, doesn't it? That essentially he thinks he doesn't want his family. And then he ends up realising he does.
Yeah.
And it never, like, seems to ever get explained at any point that they've gone and they've come back. It's almost left as if that's what he believes, is they were wished away and they've come back.
Yeah, it does in this film. In the second film, it's clearly stated, it's like, we don't want it happening again like last year.
Yeah.
But to be fair, when the parents do come in at the end, they do say, oh, you see the flight you didn't want to get back? We got the flight back.
Yeah.
Because she ended up like 5 minutes before them, because the drive was like 12 hours long or something from one place in America to where they lived in Chicago, and also they were so they was there, and also she had to take different flights from different areas to get back. So, you know, it was kind of like a waste of her time, really, doing the whole journey earlier than everyone else, because there's literally 5 minutes difference.
Have you ever heard the conspiracy theory about John Candy's character in it?
Nope.
There's a conspiracy theory that John Candy's character in this is the devil.
Really?
Because she says, I just need to get back to my son, I'll do anything. And she goes, I'd do this, and I'd sell my soul. And then that's when he's like, excuse me, miss, excuse me. And offers to give it a ride.
Yeah, I think he overhears her, like, saying that she wants to get home to her, like, son for Christmas, and they were on their way past. But obviously, that is a fun little little fan theory there. Yeah. But the Angel with the Filthy Souls is the black and white film that Kevin repeatedly puts on throughout the film. I think that's what's called, Angels with the Filthy with Filthy Souls. I genuinely really like that. Like that scene.
I did wonder for a while if it was a real film.
Same year.
But I don't think it is. I think it was made just for this.
Yeah, I believe it was, which is a shame. I would like to have watched the entire film.
But that in itself, I think, is credit to them, isn't it? Because it seems period realistic. It does feel like it's a 30s sort of film.
Yeah, it does seem like an old black and white film, which is pretty cool. And it's got the right kind of feeling to it, at least to my eyes. I wasn't around in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s to say.
No.
Obviously, while all this is happening, they're still on the plane. And then like, she's like, oh my God, what kind of mother does this make me, forgetting my son? And then Frank's like, oh, you know, if it makes you feel any better, I forgot my reading glasses. And I was like, your reading glasses doesn't compare to a child.
No.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't.
No, not in the slightest.
No. And obviously, for the first day, he's quite enjoying himself, having a lot of fun, doing what he wants. And then the night comes along, and the Wet Bandits, Harry and Marv, attempt to break into the house, which is when Kevin's like, oh, no, and then puts a light on in the basement, which makes him think, oh, shit, someone's here, let's leave, which is understandable. But then he's like, oh, no, I am actually scared of being on my own, like, because obviously something's going on. And he runs and hides under his bed. And then he's talking to himself. He's like, I'm the man of the house now. I got to, you know, be brave and stuff. And then he walks out the house going, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. You hear me? And then he sees the old man from, like, across the street with his shovel, proceeds to shit his pants and run back to his parents' bedroom and dive straight under that bed again.
Yeah, I love that. I have to admit, I really like the old guy with the shovel.
Mm.
And I like his entire arc and his and Kevin's arc. I think that's one of the things in the film that I'd forgot all about. Obviously, I'd not watched this for a few years, and you just remember it as the film where he booby traps the house.
Yeah.
And I was surprised how the booby trapped house part is only like the last quarter of the film, because in memory, that's the whole film. And I totally forgot Shovel Guy and his whole story. And I forgot stuff like where Kevin goes to buy the toothbrush and he's asking about the Dental Association of America or whatever.
Yeah, that's good, that is. Is this recommended by the Dental Association of America? I don't know. Could you find out? It's like, ugh, the woman's face is like, really, kid? Piss off. And then obviously they think he's tried to steal it. Because he sees that old guy with the shovel, whose name I forget. if it's even mentioned.
Marley?
Is there?
I think so. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but Marley comes to mind.
Well, sees him and then proceeds to leave the shop and gets called a shoplifter because he does technically shoplift. But like on his way home when he's walking back, he's like, ugh, I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
That's funny. My missus noticed as well. I've never noticed before. When the mother phones the police, she speaks to a woman and then puts it on with an officer ball rack.
Wow. And
my missus was like, was his name Captain Ballsack? I was like, I think it was Ballsack, but maybe they were trying to be funny by having it as Ballsack. Because he was like,
probably.
Like he just could not be asked. Captain Ballsack.
I do think my missus pointed this out. He's, what, 8 in it?
8, yeah.
And he does laundry.
Eh?
What 8-year-old do you know that would do laundry?
I don't know any 8-year-old.
I've adopted him.
Isn't it? I think he thought that he has no parents anymore. He has to do things for himself. Which is still surprising for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, and well, the fact he went out to buy a new toothbrush. He's only got so much money and he doesn't think I'm going to waste it all on candy. He's getting a toothbrush.
I know, it's crazy. You would not think that from an 8-year-old, honestly. And speaking of him buying a toothbrush, on his way back from buying the toothbrush is when he notices Harry and Marv leaving a neighbour's house when they almost run him over. And they're like, oh, yeah. You need to be careful, you know, because, you know, Santa doesn't visit kids in the funeral home. And then, obviously, Harry smiles at him. And this is where Kevin notices his gold tooth, which he noticed previously when he was dressed as a policeman. And then he clicked. He's like, shit, something's not right here. This guy's dodgy. And then he proceeds to, like, give him a funny look and walk off. And Harry's like, no, that kid looked at me funny. Let's follow him. And then Kevin runs away. And they're like, yeah, something's definitely up.
I do think that's good when he runs away from them, that you presume he's gone in the church.
Yeah, I thought he'd gone in
the nativity scene. That's
when I first saw it, I thought he went in the church. This time I saw it, it's been like the 100th time. I knew he wasn't in the church, apparently, yeah. Either. Like, oh, I forgot. Did he go in the church? Yeah. The next thing I've got on my notes, right, is it's like after this, it goes back to Paris, but it shows the other family members, the father, the kids, Frank's wife, his other brother, who's the one who moved to France for a job. And I noticed that Frank, I not noticed it before, but like Frank walks up with a tray of prawns or shrimp. I'm not sure which one it is. And the wife of the other brother is going, Frank, they're for later. Don't have them. And Frank just goes and gives them, starts handing them out to people. And it's like, he really is a dick.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you guys, I want my prawns or shrimp, because I don't know which one it was. Yeah, he's not a great guy. But obviously the film picks up most when comes to the like final third of the film. There's the whole right. Well, the Harry and Marv find out that Kevin is home alone. He is he's been tricking them into thinking people were still at the house, in the McAllister house, which is why they were all hadn't robbed it yet. Then they finally clicked on, oh, it's just this kid tricking us. We better deal with it. So they make a plan to go back that night at 9 p.m., which Kevin overhears. So he's like, oh, I need to like work something out. And I don't think he plans the whole traps and stuff until like a little bit after this, because he goes to the church, and this is where the conversation happens with the old guy with a shovel.
Yeah.
And he walks over, like the old Kevin's sitting there watching the choir sing. And the old guy walks up and goes, hello. And Kevin just gives him this really weird look, and he's like, can I sit with you? And he's like, sure, with this strange, suspicious look. And he sits down and they have this like really meaningful conversation about both families, really. But the main takeaway from there for the older gentleman is, Kevin saying to him, I was scared of the basement, but then I got used to it. And he's like, so what's your point? And he's like, well, basically, speak to your son. Because, you know, the worst that can happen is he won't speak to you, but at least you'll know, and you won't have to fear phoning him in future. You can just leave it there. I kind of get that sentiment, yeah.
Yeah, and, it's nice because he, like, listens to Kevin's problems and offers him advice, and Kevin listens to his in the same, and then they both sort of part, kind of saying they're going to take on board what the other one said.
Yeah, and I think it's what the old guy says to Kevin that makes him think, right, I need to protect the house and myself. Mm. And this is when he does the traps, which is surprising for an 8-year-old. this is where it starts. It's a really good film overall, but like the first 2/3 of the film is like, The beginning is like they forget Kevin, everything's a bit of a panic, Kevin's having great fun. Then he gives a little, I think, you know, he matures a bit then.
Yeah.
And then this is where the stuff is on, like Harry and Marv breaking into other houses, trying to work out if there's anyone in the house. The third part then is where everything, or the third act, is where everything hits its crescendo, like with the whole... trying to protect his house. And he does protect his house. He sets up lots of different traps, which I find most of them pretty good. There is one that I thought was pretty shit. But it starts off with them turning up the house. They knock on the door and they're like, oh, it's Santa Claus and his elf. Come and answer the door. And he proceeds to shoot Harry in the dick. And then he shoots Marv in the face with a BB gun. It's funny. You gotta wonder how incompetent they must be to have been taken out by a child, for the most part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did write down like that. I enjoyed all the traps except for like the one trap I thought was the worst in the film. Is the glue and feathers.
Yeah, like,
It theoretically speaking. Harry should have just carried on going without much of an issue with the glue and feathers. Because, like, he
took to blowtorch in his head, it's, you know.
It's like, I'm not saying they all have to be really violent, but it didn't seem to do anything other than set up a joke of, why are you dressed like a chicken? And that's it.
Yeah.
Which was funny, but, you know. I guess that's why they did it, because it paid off into a joke. Where's your shoes? And why are you dressed like a chicken? You know, that kind of thing.
Some of the traps do make you cringe, though, like when he stands on the nail, because you're just like,
Yeah.
It does get very Looney Tunes, though, doesn't it? Like when the iron hits him in the head and the other guy's head's blowtorched for about 3 minutes and he just stands there screaming.
Yeah. It's like you would have thought you would have moved straight away.
Yeah.
I think the most painful-looking thing of them all, in a way, is the where he grabs the doorknob and it burns his hand.
Oh, yeah, and it's singed the M into his hand.
And even in the second film last day. And the reason why I think that looks so painful compared to like the iron hitting him in the face, the blowtorch, they all look extremely painful, but they don't have the same kind of prolonged... Like, he is... burnt by a blowtorch, his hair is singed, but it doesn't look seriously damaged. His hand is totally screwed.
Yeah.
It looks like it's been properly messed up, which is fine after he sticks it in some ice for 5 minutes, but, you know, it looks bad, whereas the rest of him's okay. He's not too bad.
This is reminding me of another interesting conspiracy theory. Have you ever heard the conspiracy theory that Kevin McAllister changed his name when he got older to John Kramer?
No.
He's the saw killer, Jigsaw.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. It makes sense, though.
It's just a nice fan theory.
It is, yeah. It's a funny one as well. And it makes sense with the whole traps and stuff. Terrible.
I know there is some like mini, like YouTube-esque videos that the guy that plays Marv being on a computer trying to talk to Harry, basically panicking, saying that the older Kevin's after him and's going to serial kill him. And I'm sure Macaulay Culkin made some return video to play on it.
Oh, that's cool. That's a thing.
Obviously, like, nice little thing, because obviously a lot of people that have seen this have grown up now and, it, you know, it carries it on as such. But and then Macaulay Culkin wants to come back and make a sequel.
They've made enough sequels.
But he wants to make one where, like, he's the dad.
Right. Yeah, I'm of the opinion that they don't need to make any more sequels.
I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, but I'm pretty sure there's a 5 I haven't seen.
I've seen 1, 2, and 3, and the latest one, which is Home Sweet Home Alone. I don't know if that's the 5th or the 6th one.
I think it's the 5th, but I could be wrong.
Yes.
Because I think it's got Buzz in it, hasn't it?
It does, briefly, yeah.
Mm.
So it's in the same universe. I'm sure that one of them, I might have seen some of 4, because I'm sure one of the people are meant to be Marv, but it's like a different actor. But I might be completely wrong.
I know he wears similar stuff, but I can't remember whether it's supposed to be him or not.
Yeah, I can't remember. We'll find out. If we stick to the plan of doing one every year or two every year or whatever we do, we'll find out. So after all that stuff happens, they try and get Kevin upstairs. They try and go upstairs. They both get smashed in the face by a paint can.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And Harry loses his golden tooth, which is found by the father at the end of the film. He's like, what's this? Golden tooth. And I like the scene then after they, like, Harry does actually grab onto Kevin and he's like, you know, I've got him. And then Kevin just sticks spider on Marv's face.
Ooh, yeah.
And he just freaks the fuck out, screaming. And then he smashes Harry with a bloody crowbar trying to kill the spider. And Harry's like, how do you like it? So I'm hitting him back with the crowbar. It's daft, but it's funny. But yeah, obviously it comes to a head where Kevin escapes out of a treehouse. They follow him. He cuts the rope because it's like across the way. So he uses a rope and to like slide his way over to it. And he does so, which is fine. They try and climb across and he cuts the rope. They smash their faces into a wall. And then they chase after him again. He runs into another person's house, going into the basement. And they he opens the door and they happen to be waiting in. He's like, we outsmarted you this time. And obviously they grab Kevin. So Kevin's like, oh no, I'm fucked. And he is, realistically. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to like blow his head with smash his face with iron, blow his head with a blowtorch and stuff like that. And but first they're going to bite off his fingers, and they go to stick his finger in his mouth to bite it. And the old guy shows up with a shovel and knocks out both Marv and Harry in that specific order. But it comes to the end of the film and they're all taken by the police, and then it's the next day, Christmas comes. Kevin's like, oh yes, I asked Santa for my parents and my family. I don't want anything else. He runs down and says, no family. And he's all sad. And then his mother suddenly walks through the door and they're like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to leave you behind. And he's like, it's all good. And they have a nice hug. And then the rest of the family turn up like literally 30 seconds later. And I thought to myself, why did the mother bother leaving? She may as well have waited for that plane and got back at pretty much the exact same time. I guess it's trying to show that a mother will do anything to get to her kids, like, which she does. She takes, like, she offers a load of stuff to people to get tickets to get on earlier flights. But she ends up going through, like, 3 flights or something and a big, massive car ride, which took just as long as the plane. So it's kind of like a waste, really, of time for her. Because it made no difference in the end. At the end. But I guess it's supposed to show, like, a mother's love will do anything for their child. I guess. I don't know. Maybe. But what I liked about the end of the film was they're all like, oh, Kevin, it's good to see you. Oh, yay, it's nice. And then literally within, like, 2 minutes, none of them, they all just walk off and he's left there on his own again.
Yes.
Literally, like, oh, I can't believe you've done washing, you've done grocery shopping and this and that. And then it's like, okay, bye. And then everyone goes. Yeah. It's funny, though, because, like, the parents clearly never found out about the whole wet bandits breaking into their house and doing all the stuff they did. Is never mentioned. I think, like, I'm surprised you'd think something would be known about that. Like, Kevin would have to go to court, testify or something against them. I don't know. But it's, I think I said to the missus, like, I don't understand how they don't literally know nothing about it. And she said that's probably because they were arrested in a different house.
Maybe, yeah.
They were arrested in the house across the street, so.
He tidied everything up, obviously, apart from Buzz's room, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Which means he had a hell of a night from all the feathers blowing everywhere and tarred stuff. And
yeah. You would have thought it would have been a state and he would have been like, oh, yeah, sorry, we had these bandits, these criminals break in and try and steal all our stuff. And I had to deal with it. And they're like, yeah, all right. And then he'd be like, no, you ask the police about the wet bandits. It's spelled W-E. Yeah, it's a really good film, and obviously describing it isn't as fun as watching it.
No.
But people should check it out. It is jolly good fun.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film, and it's just a classic. And I think it's very, very Christmassy in that the whole thing is about the meaning of family.
Yeah.
And about not taking people for granted and that things aren't as important as people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. It's very family centric, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I really enjoy it, you know.
Oh, I did. And it did make me like tear up a little bit at the end where Kevin looks across and the old man's with his family and they both like wave at each other and smile, and you know, I think that was for their conversation in the church and then everything to happen and then to end sort of with that was a really good payoff.
Yeah, agreed.
Because so many films I'll have a scene where they have like conversation or conflict that moves things forward and you'll never ever learn what happened, and just to learn that guy did talk to his son and everything's all right now, it just, this film like feels like you've tied every bow up you can.
Yeah, exactly. It ties up any loose ends, I believe. And obviously there's a sequel to this one. There are sequels to Home Alone, but I believe, don't quote me on it, that it's different families each time.
Yeah, I think so.
Whereas the first two are about Kevin and the Wet Bandits and the McAllisters. So, would you recommend this film?
Oh, definitely. And certainly around the holidays.
I agree. It's a very good, fun film for all the family. And it's not like I've only seen it once or twice. I've seen this film a lot, especially with having kids. We've watched it several times with the kids as well, you know? And it's still like obviously it's not as funny as the very first time you watch it because you're not expecting things to happen that happen, but then you kind of, because you know what's going to happen, it kind of, you still get the laughs, but it's not as like shocking in a sense, if that makes sense. It doesn't, like, you don't laugh as like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened, because you know what's coming. So like, Sometimes I'd be like chuckling a little bit before it happened because I know what's happening. It's daft.
I do think you pick more up with every watch as well. I think there's a lot of things that happen or that you're like, oh, I didn't notice that. So you lose some of the impact, but you sort of get little bits of extra every time you see it.
Yeah.
And I do think we're not watching it for a long time and then watching it, you do forget how much build-up there is.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I think I've not seen it for about 5 years, and you just think of that end part as being the whole film.
Yeah, you do think the end part is more of the film than it is, definitely. I have no issue with it being shorter than it, as short as it is in a sense, then, because I think a lot of that build-up is necessary. I think if it was just shenanigans from the off, it'd be kind of like, I'm a bit bored by now. I mean, how would you go about it? It's like, you couldn't just have constant silliness of slapstick humor.
No.
But it's not just that the film is about the whole protecting the house. It's about Kevin maturing, learning about family and stuff as well. It's teaching children to appreciate their family, and it's also teaching parents to appreciate their kids as well. It goes both ways. It's meant to be, it's a proper family, like, get together film.
I think that's what I love about it, is that, like, everybody's listened to. It's not just all from the kids' point of view or all from an adult's point of view. It does sell everybody's part in it.
Yeah.
And not a lot of films do a lot of the time.
No, they don't. Well, we've been going for a bit now. I think we may as well wrap it here. If you haven't seen Home Alone, then you definitely should. If you haven't seen Home Alone 2, you definitely should. And then there isn't any more films. But no, Home Alone is very good. It's well worth watching. I'd probably give it a 9 out of 10 because, as well as it just being a really good film, I also have a lot of nostalgia from it from when I was a child. So that probably clouds my judgment a bit on ratings, but I would give it like a 9.
Yeah, I think I'd say the same. It's, you know, there's not many films more perfect than it. It's definitely high 9 territory.
Yeah, agreed. But that is going to be us. I am going to say goodbye. So thank you for everyone who's listened. It's been a pleasure. Well, I hope it's been a pleasure. And thank you, Kurt, for taking part again.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
No problems at all. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Fam, I'm 8 years old. You think I'd be here alone? I don't think so.